Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I am grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. Those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So we thank God for another blessed day. And hey, wherever you listen to me at, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you once again for another blessed day, another opportunity you've given us to assemble together in your word. We're grateful for your spirit that you have put within your people who have accepted you as Lord and Savior. And we know that you have given us your spirit to teach us, to reveal to us all things that we are in need of. Lord, open our understanding, to open our eyes, to remove the blind scales, to give us revelation knowledge. And so, Lord God, we are grateful for these many things that you have blessed us and given us your spirit, and above all, eternal life. So, Lord God, as we take this journey tonight, once again into your word, we ask, Lord God, that you accompany us on this journey, that we dare not enter this journey without you in the presence of your spirit. So, therefore, Lord, today, release through your spirit revelation knowledge to everyone that is listening to this broadcast tonight. And Lord God, may you open eyes and open ears, Lord God. And Father, may you deliver and set free. May you reveal truth to those that are seeking your face in the name of Jesus. May you show your hand and your divine power in Jesus' name. And touch anyone, Lord God, that is listening to this broadcast, no matter what country or nation they are listening to this broadcast at, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we will give you glory and honor and praise in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all of you that are listening this day, listening to this broadcast. Glory to God. And so grateful for the Lord that He's given me such an opportunity to do this. For those of you that was listening Sunday, I did somewhat a message concerning what the Lord has said in the word of the Lord. We have been coming to you and giving you what God has commissioned us, and that is to warn you and to let you know the work that is being done by the Lord through his sending of his angel messenger, the Elijah. And on Sunday night, I came with you with a message titled Extra Oil, the Abomination. And from there, I had given you what the Lord has said in the word through the sending of his angelic being, his messenger, the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist. I also informed you that this word that the Lord has been sending from heaven through the angel of the Lord is also known as the extra oil. It is the extra oil that Jesus gave the parable about in Matthew chapter 25, when you had the five wise and five foolish virgins. I remember they had oil in their lamps, but when the extra oil was offered, the only one that partook of the extra oil was the wise. And therefore, in taking this extra oil at midnight, when they was called to hear the message that the bridegroom cometh, that they arose to trim their lamps, and the wise still had oil in their lamps, while the foolish, their oil went out. And as I inform you that those virgins represent the whole church world, okay? Glory to God. Supposed to be all believers. We see that Jesus, through the parable, divided them into wise and foolish. And so this message, because some of you hear us and you say, I got the Bible. What do I need to hear this for? Okay. The Bible's sufficient for me. We don't need no other Bible, no more of the word. Well, first of all, Jesus says you do. And number two, remember that we have let you know that this word that Jesus sent from heaven is the word that will cause one fold to come about. You know, we talk about Jesus soon return and coming back for his people. And that is true. That is scripture. And some of us even quote Ephesians 5 when he said that he is to present his church without wrinkle, spot, or blemish. But once again, we overlook and fail to see the process that's going to bring the people to being without wrinkle, spot, or blemish. And that process we see and come to understand, as I went into a series with you about the messenger, the resurrected John the Baptist called the messenger to prepare the way, and I went into Malachi 3 with you. Now, when you read Malachi 3, you're given the process. You're given the process that is to bring the people to be without wrinkle, spot, or blemish. And that process involved the sending of the messenger, the resurrected John the Baptist, who is to prepare the way. And when you read in Malachi 3, the word of God said, but who shall stand when he appeareth? Who may abide the day of his coming? And remember, the question is asked, and the reason why the question is asked, because the word that he is bringing from the Lord is to cleanse the house of God. Now, remember, if Peter said in the Bible, first, I think that's 1 Peter chapter 4, he said, judgment shall begin where? At the household of God. He didn't say with the sinners, but with the household of God. And that's twofold, not just dealing with the last day judgment, but it's also dealing with judgment while here on this earth over all what God is going to do. So in sending this word, this extra oil from heaven, it is also a word that is to cleanse, purify, and refine a people, okay, to bring them to that one fold. Because remember, we've been giving you the word, and the word of God said, Jesus said that he has sent this word that Christianity may come into one fold, okay? Now, when you read the Bible, for those of you that say, okay, I got the Bible, I don't need no other book. Well, when you read the Bible, how many folds did Jesus set up? One. He did not set up 2, 3, 4, 5, 5,000. He set up one, okay? One fold, okay? And that's what he's coming back for, one fold. He's not coming back for something that man make up and say, huh, Jesus, you take it or leave it. That ain't how it works, people. It got to be his way. He's coming back for what he set up. He's not coming back for what we set up. He's coming back for what he set up, okay? And man has been fooled into thinking that they can tell Jesus, well, you look, Jesus, take it or leave it. This is how it's going to be, take it or leave it. Well, this is what Jesus is doing today. He's showing you what he's going to take and what he's going to leave, okay? Amen. So tonight, I'm dealing with possibly a series. Now, you said, why possibly? Because I'm trying to hear the direction of the Lord, okay? And I want to, as I told and shared with many of you many times, that I want to move according to the Spirit. I don't want to rush. I don't want to run through nothing fast. I don't want to make up my own stuff. None of that. I want to move in the flow of the Spirit. I want to give you what he give unto me, okay? And if it's something of me, I want him to stop me in my tracks and tell me, no, don't give that, okay? Tonight, I'm starting off with possibly a new series of a series. And the reason why I said possibly, because if it's the will of the Lord, then I'm going to be going through many things that will be under this title, okay? And starting off tonight, this part may have one or two parts, I don't know. As I told you, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. But the title of this message tonight is called The Extra Oil, Abomination, A Proud Look. Extra Oil, Abomination, A Proud Look. Now, why is it called Extra Oil? Because I had just, like I just told you at the beginning of the broadcast, this word that the Lord Jesus sent from heaven is extra oil. It is the extra oil that is going to bring people together. Okay? The fold up of the people of God going to be brought together as one. That's why it's referred to as extra oil. Okay? And we're going to dive in a little deeper, and you will understand why the rest of it is called abomination, a proud look. So I want to open from this word of the Lord that Jesus sent out of a message called the 12th message. And the word of the Lord, the 12th message, that's what it's called, meaning the 12th time that Jesus has sent this angelic being. For those of you who are newcomers to the broadcast, hey, you can look at all the series before the series before the series that we've did. We've talked about the Lord sending his angel, his messenger, who he is, and all that. If you are on this page, you can click on it. It should be a picture of a little Bible, probably on the right-hand or left-hand side, but if you click on it, a Dropbox will come, and when in a Dropbox, one of the things you'll see in there is called episodes. When you click on that, and it'll take you to all the past episodes we've done. Okay, so you can go back, and I'm going to encourage you, go back and listen by as far as about, let's say, a year. Because me and another brother named Brother Robert Gross, we actually went through what brings us to this point of Jesus having to send an angelic being, okay? So I want to encourage you all to do that. Now, in this, what is called message 12, which means at this time, this was the 12th time that Jesus sent this angelic being. And once again, we want to come to understand that the angels of God come at the appointment of God. They don't come at my appointment or your appointment or anybody else's appointment. So if you up there praying and you say, I want this angel need to be here tomorrow, well, get out your Kleenex, because don't be surprised if you're that angry that you'd be crying. Because whenever an angel of the Lord visits you, rest assured he comes at the appointed time of God, meaning this. If you were to ever talk to God and you had an angelic visitation, you would never have to worry about God saying, oh, really? I didn't even know he came. So you see, me, you, and anybody else, something like that can get by us. I mean, somebody can tell me somebody come and, you know, came and meet them or something, and we can lack the knowledge of knowing. That doesn't go with God. Okay. So if you are visited by an angelic being that is sent by the Lord, rest assured, you never have to worry, and I do use the word never, you never have to worry that when you talk to God about it, God will say, hey, I didn't even know he was coming to see you. Why? Because he comes at the appointed time of the Lord. So this 12th message was sent out July the 18th, 1929. And the brother that the Lord sent this angelic being to, named Brother Alto Fetty, okay, talks about when the Lord sent this angel to him. And I want to read one of these verses, one of these scripture verses in here of what the Lord had commissioned the angel to tell, not only Brother Fetty, but the people of God that would hear this message. He said, behold, the Lord has rejected all creeds and faction of men who have gone away from the word of the Lord and have become an abomination in his sight. Now, I want to stop there because there's more said in that verse, but I want to stop there because of what we're dealing with tonight. So in that verse there, we're told that God has rejected all creeds and factions, okay, that have gone away from the word of the Lord and have become an abomination in his sight. Now, the word abomination, according to Webster, means something abominable, extreme disgust or hatred, okay? So God said that he had rejected all creed and factions, and that's these, you know, groups and things that men have come up with themselves and gotten into, you know, as they have went away from the word of the Lord, okay? Now, that's very, very key, okay? Because understand this, and once again, I'm not trying to be offensive. I got brothers and sisters in these denominations, stuff like that, but I want to give you, for example, take the Bible alone. You don't see anywhere in there where God set up the Baptists or whether he set up the Methodists or the Episcopalian or the Pentecostal or the United, what they call United Church of Christ. You don't see that. And man had gotten off track from the original establishment of Jesus Christ, okay? And as me and my late brother, Brother Robert Gross, went to explain to you, this thing came about from what Paul, the Apostle Paul, told us in Thessalonians as the falling away. And so during the time of the falling away, three things contribute to men falling away, as the word falling away means to apostatize or defect from the truth. There was three things that contribute: persecution, evil teaching, and evil practices, okay? So here, the Lord said that, and he let us know that when men go away from his word, they will have a tendency to set up their own groups and cliques, okay? And God said he rejects that. And he said that they have become an abomination in his sight. Once again, they have become something abominable, extreme disgust. And let's keep this in mind as we walk through this starting tonight. Now, the next thing we want to come to understand from the word of God, okay, because remember, we don't exclude the Bible. The Bible contains the word of God also. And the three books that God has called to come forth, the Bible, another book that me and Brother Robert went through to talk to you about, called The Record of Nephites, and this one I'm reading from, The Word of the Lord. These three books are the books of God, and they go together, because remember this, for some of you to say, why need three books? Okay, we got the Bible, why we need, but remember God's protocol in the Bible, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So God doesn't do anything in the earth without having him witnesses, not just one now, get that straight, but his protocol is what, two or three witnesses, okay? So the Bible is the witness of the power and workings of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he dealt with man by way of the Jews, okay? The Record of Nephi that we talked to you about, me and Brother Robert, it's the same thing. It's about God's workings, dealings with man, his word, his commandments, like the Bible, but it is by way of what? The Nephites, okay? Which we explained to you who they were. The Nephites were people of the house of Israel, of the house of Joseph, okay? And then this word of the Lord is also God's commandments and instructions and prophecies and word to his people by way of the angel messenger, the resurrected John the Baptist. So having said that, and we're talking about abomination, proud look, the Lord said that he had rejected all creeds and factions of men that have gone away from the word of the Lord and have become an abomination in his sight. Now, once again, this ain't Brother Nate saying this, so don't get mad at me. You can ask the Lord about it yourself. Okay, so the next thing we want to understand is that the Lord used Solomon to list some things to us of what he calls or call abomination. Okay. Now let's think on that for a minute, because abomination is sin, but also it is a description. It's not just sin. It goes under the category of sin, but it ain't just sin. It's something that God really detests. You know, it's something that if I can find a better word to describe this, something makes him go, oh, you know, and he calls it abomination. And so God, one of the persons that God used, and Solomon wasn't the only one, but one of the people he used, one of his people he used, named Solomon, and he used Solomon to give us a list of some of the things of what he called abomination. So let's take a look at that. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. The book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Let's go into there, and let's look at some of these things that God had Solomon to list. And remember, Solomon was known for what? His wisdom. Okay. God blessed him with wisdom. He was known for his wisdom. Okay. And so let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 16 to verse 18 in Proverbs chapter 6. Now, like I said, I'm not rushing through this, trying to go gradual. Let the Spirit of the Lord deal with me and you that are listening, because I want you to ask the Lord about this, okay? So Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 18. And the word of the Lord said, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Now, here Solomon gives us seven things that he's told us that God hates. Seven things that is really an abomination. God calls an abomination in his sight. In other words, God really detests this. I mean, he ain't at a point where he just don't like it. This really is ew to him. He really detests this. You know, kind of like this. If you think of, let's say, if you say there's certain food you don't like, but then there's other food that, let's say, you just can't stand. Okay, I can relate to that, because there's certain foods I don't like, but there's a if I had to say a smaller category of, there's some foods that I simply cannot stand. In other words, I can't even stand to smell it. Something I can't stand is to look at it. And so that's kind of like, in a sense, what is dealing with abominations with the Lord. This thing he really detests, okay? Now, in this list that Solomon gave us, we're going to talk about one of them in this part of the series tonight. And notice that the very first one he talks about is a proud look. A proud look, okay? That's pride. See, Jesus' word through his angelic being is telling us that men have went away from the word of the Lord and become prideful. See, remember what I read to you. He said, the Lord has rejected all creeds and factions of men who have went away from the word of the Lord and have become an abomination in his sight. Well, one of the things is what God called abomination, pride or prideful, okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so God is letting you know, this is what has, one of the things that is going on with his people today. Okay. They have gotten away from the word of the Lord and become prideful, okay? Prideful. I had, you know, was wondering from the Lord, okay, Lord, in dealing with this lesson, how should I go with this? Because I have two researches that I can bring before you, and I want to give you an example, you know, of, amen, about how one who was in the Lord have gone away from the word of the Lord and is in a state of pride. In fact, this man is still living today and still saying the stuff that he's saying. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you this report on this one here. Many of you have heard of a man named, at one time, he's called Bishop Carlton Pearson. And many of y'all know that he went to what Oral Roberts University, was in the Lord. He the one that did the, I think he did a CD on the Azusa Revival, did some songs from that, you know. And then all of a sudden, I think this may have happened, and I'm just guessing as people, maybe somewhere, maybe 10 years ago or something like that. Carlton Pearson began to preach and teach some stuff that wasn't scripture. He got to a point where he, quote, went away or had gone away from the word of the Lord. Okay? And some of y'all know what I'm talking about because you've heard some of the stuff he, you know, he been preaching and, quote, teaching. Okay? And some stuff he's preaching, you know, the average Christian may make their eyebrows stand up on their head like, good gracious, what is this stuff you're coming with? But I want to read a report, an example of him going away from the Lord. And like I say, he's going to a state of pride. This research is coming from a report by abcnews.go.com. And it's titled, Nobody Goes to Hell, okay, minister labeled a heretic. Once again, it is titled, Nobody Goes to Hell, minister labeled as a heretic. And this came out July the 13th, 2007. So this had to be over 10 years ago. That's why I say I was guessing, but this, what he had come out with was over, in fact, when I think about it, now, most definitely, it was over 10 years ago. But I want to read a little something to you concerning Carlton Pearson and, once again, that how he has gone away from the word of the Lord and become prideful in stuff that he's saying. He's preaching and teaching, okay, and glory to God. It was reported that Carlton Pearson said, and this was his words, and I want you to hear this closely, I couldn't reconcile a God who mercy endures forever and this torture chamber that's customized for unbelievers, Pearson said. And Pearson goes to say, how can you really love a God who's torturing your grandmother? And that's what I went through for years. He said, the more he studied, the more he saw the Bible not as the literal word of God, but a book by men about God. Primitive men prone to mistranslations, political agendas, and human emotions. Okay? Now, if I go any further in what he said, let's start right there. Okay. He saw the Bible as not the literal word of God, and he saw it, say, as a book by men who was prone to mistranslations, political agendas, and human emotions. Now, let me say this. Now, the Bible, we're talking about the Bible, and some of you, I need you to hear this closely, because if you look, if you listen to the way Carlton Pearson said, you would think that the Bible, none of the Bible contains the word of God. And see, that's not true. However, I want you to hear this. everything that's said in the Bible is not God's word. Okay? Now, I know some of you probably say, okay, I'm clicking Brother Nate out. He like Bishop Pearson. I didn't say that the Bible did not contain none of the word of God. Okay? The Bible does contain the word of God. It's a book of the Lord. But however, everything that is said in there is not the word of God. Okay? It's not. Amen. And see, this is why when you're studying, let's say the Bible alone, this is why you need the Holy Ghost. You know, you have your Strong's Concordance and your dictionaries, and we need that. Thank God for it. But above them, above all, this is why you got to have the Holy Ghost, because you have to know from the Spirit between what is being said is the thoughts of man versus what's really God's word. Okay? Just like, for example, if I go any further, and I know some of you may believe contrary to this, but I've seen from the scriptures the truth of this. Now, for example, take the woman at the well. And remember when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and you remember at some point in the conversation, remember she said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Now, you got many believers believe that Jesus was a prophet. Well, Jesus was never a prophet. He is Lord God Almighty. He was never a prophet. Now, where he operated may have seemed like it, but no, he was never a prophet. So when that woman said, "I perceive that thou art a prophet," that wasn't a literal word of God. That was her thinking, okay? You know, remember God's protocol. When things are said, is it proven in the mouth of two or three witnesses, okay? Because remember, God has witnesses to that which is of him, okay? Now, so I want to say that before I read any further about what Cards and Pearson was saying. Now, he goes on to say, and before I go any further than that, let me say this right here, and it just comes to me. Just like, for example, the Bible. We got a bunch of different Bibles. Now, one part he said, kind of saying is true, that you have to watch out for too. You know, you got some people that won't study the Bible. They get these Bibles that, quote, already give them the meaning of the scripture. Now, hear me when I say this. I'm not going to say everything that is said in these Bibles is not, that it's wrong, but a lot of stuff that's said in there is man's thoughts, okay? Amen. I mean, when they're translating what a scripture means, okay? So a lot of, you got what they call Bible scholars, and a lot of your Bible scholars give you what they think. It's not so much as a revelation from the Holy Ghost, okay? So I thought I would put that in there. Now, some of you may say, "Well, are you discouraging me from reading the Bible?" No, I'm not doing that. What I'm telling you is this. When you're studying the Bible, make sure that you pray before you study and say, "Lord, help me see the truth from the false." Because I give you an example. Now, the Bible I mostly use is King James Version. I'm talking about the regular King James, not the New King James, because to me it's about close to accurate. But however, King James in his translation had translated from the original writings, and he put certain English words, you know, our English words in there, that if the Holy Ghost didn't reveal to you what the scripture meant, those words will be misleading, okay? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you on that. This is not to discredit the Bible. I'm just letting you know the truth about this, okay? So I thought that I would put that in there. So you got many of these different Bibles. You got the NIV, the American Standard, the New Translation. I mean, you got all these different, and, you know, and they have different this and that. That's why I say you need to know the Holy Ghost, because, like I said, something they say is right, but a lot of these translations is truly what man thinks, okay? But that is not to discredit the Bible, okay? Not doing like Carlton Pearson, discrediting the Bible. But anyhow, he goes on to say, and one night, as he watched Peter Jennings report on the parade of suffering in Rwanda, he had what he called a revelation. Now, I want you to hear this, okay? He said he had a revelation. He said, "I remember thinking that these were probably Muslims because God wouldn't let that happen to Christians," he said. "Unbelieving Muslims little starving babies, and that they were going to die and go to hell. He said, that's when he said, God, how could you call yourself a loving God and a living God and just let them suffer like that, then to suck them into hell? This way he said, he said to God, after he watched the suffering on the news about at Rwanda, okay? Then he continued. He said, that's when I thought I heard an inner voice say. Now, he said that's when he thought he heard an inner voice say. He said, that's when I thought I heard an inner voice say. Is that what you think we're doing? So who's the we're? We're doing, I don't know. But that's what he said. Is that what you think we're doing? Then Carter Pearson said, I said, that's what I've been taught. You're sucking them into hell. Then he goes on saying, that voice said again, can't you see they're already there? What? Okay. He said, that's hell. You created that. Did you hear that? Pearson believed that God was telling him hell is the creation of man on earth. And you hear that? You know. Now, once again, he thought he heard a voice. Well, see, notice one of the things that when I was reading what you didn't hear me read that that's checked it. Okay. But now, even to this day, listen to him, he's talking about there's no hell and all that stuff. And once again, remember, this is a man that went to Oral Roberts University, was in the Lord and all that. And look, after he claimed he didn't got a so-called revelation, look how he stepped off, far off. Now he's saying there's no hell. So that means, for example, just take you as a believer who reads the Bible, and you see hell up in there. And Jesus mentioned hell. And he's saying there is no hell, so I guess Jesus lying. Okay? I mean, if that be the case, then, you know, the Bible is perpetrating a lie. Now, that's interesting. And then you're going to say, you got this revelation from God. Now, if he was talking to me, if he'd have told me that, and told me he got a revelation from God, the first thing I would ask him is, what God are you talking about? Because you couldn't be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ or the Bible. Because there's no way. I can show you more than the mouth of two or three witnesses where he talks about hell. Jesus talks about hell as much as he do heaven. Okay? So you're going to tell me you got this so-called revelation from God? So you didn't went away from the word of the Lord. In fact, people, he had went on and he has been telling people, you don't need to accept Jesus, be saved, all this kind of stuff. He had went away from the word of the Lord, and he has become prideful. If you ever have watched him last, I can see the change in him that's not good from years ago when I first seen him up to now. I mean, you can see that spirit of pride. You can see that spirit of confusion on him. It's there. And he's saying some stuff that would make, you know, frowns come to your face, okay? Hallelujah. But once again, he said, hell or earth, he said, man created. And see, when man goes away from the word of the Lord and begins to act in pride, he thinks he know better than God. Now, some of them would even claim God, just like Carter Pearson doing. But when you're claiming God and saying that God has said something and it contradicts what's already written, what does that tell you? Do you know that some Christians not even schooled and taught in that? Amen. Now, part of that, I say part of it now, I fault the ministry. Because the ministry in their part that they're doing wrong is not teaching people how to discern between something which is of God and which is not. They're not teaching people about, hey, if you get a so-called revelation, a so-called visitation or whatever from an angel, whatever, it got to be in the mouth of two or three witnesses, whatever he say. You can't just go, and you got people today, the first thing they hear, they running with it. Oh, God told me that goats are really monkeys. Well, you know, they'll run off with it and say, hey, God said goats are really monkeys, and, you know, you ain't got no scripture back up for that, okay? So they run with it. And this is one of the things that's becoming or have become trouble, you know, in the body of Christ, okay? So Carlton Pearson have gone away from the word of the Lord, and he is operating in one of the things that God said he hate, which is a proud look, which is pride. Okay, now once again, you know, some of y'all may think, hey, you're bashing. I'm not bashing. I'm telling you, pray for him. But I'm telling you what he's operating in. And some of y'all have seen it. Maybe some of y'all haven't. Those of you that haven't, okay, I say to you like this. Those of you that haven't seen it, but you've been studying the word, then you look at it and you'll see what I'm talking about. You go look at it, what he says about hell, about Jesus Christ, about salvation. You go look at it, and you tell me, okay, y'all know what I'm on this broadcast, 323-870-3403. You call and you tell me what you see, okay? You call, you tell me. In fact, you tell me if what he's teaching is a scripture, okay? If you're a study of the Bible, and I'm just telling you the Bible alone, I ain't even said a word of the Lord in the Record of Nephi. If you're a studier of the Bible alone, and the stuff you hear him preaching and teaching, you call me at this number, 323-870-3403, and you tell me whether that's scripture from the Bible. Okay? Hallelujah. But report I gave you is to let you know what has happened when men go away from the word of the Lord and get into pride. Now, I want to read one more report, because like I told you, I didn't know how I was going to go this route tonight, but I'm going to read another report to you. And this report, and once again, I'm giving these two reports because to give you an example of how men have gone away from the word of the Lord, and they have become lifted in pride, which is that proud look, that spirit of pride, of what Jesus is talking about. Now, this other report is titled, The Origins of Hell in Heaven with Rob Bale, okay? Big Think came out August the 17th, 2016. This was 5 years ago, okay? Now, this Rob Bale is supposed to be a pastor, okay? He's supposed to be a pastor. Carlton Pearson was called a bishop at one time. This man, Rob Bale, is supposed to be a pastor. Now, let me read to you, I want to read to you what he supposed to have said. Okay, and it said, interesting, he, which is Rob Bale, argues the same for heaven. Now, it may not, this way he said, it may not exist the way many people think it does. Now, he's referring not just to heaven, but also hell. He said, in the Old Testament, there isn't really any sort of view of the afterlife. This is what Bale said. He said, the closest you get is a word for pit, a word for abyss, which basically means you die and you're not here. Okay. Wow. Bale urges the spiritual population to recognize heaven and hell as states of consciousness rather than outcomes of life, and to participate fully in life on earth, one that is inclusive and kind, if only for kindness' sake. Okay. Bale states that religion's emphasis on punishment is misguided. He said, life is hard enough without the possibility that doing or not doing something may send you to hell, whatever it may be. It corrupts spirituality. Hallelujah. This is what he says. So what is he doing? He's talking like Bishop Carlton Pearson. And he's saying like heaven and hell like a state of consciousness. Now you hear all these other, many of these other religions be saying stuff like that. So now he didn't get away from the word of the Lord, okay? I mean, there's other things that, from what I understand, is Rob Bell has been preaching, not only concerning hell, but concerning salvation, all that. Notice how these men have gone away from the word of the Lord. Listen, when you go away from the word of the Lord and you still trying to, quote, establish spirituality, you finna preach and teach errors, okay? In other words, you can't establish spirituality in Christ without him. You can't do it. And so you got men trying to establish this type of, quote, spirituality without Jesus. So you're going to go away from the word of the Lord, and you're going to come and see what's going to happen. You're going to end up contradicting what Jesus said, and you're going to be trying to show people that Jesus lied. Okay? Now, let me spell that out for you, what you're doing. It is called dangerous, okay? You don't do that, okay? You will come out better trying to frame me for something than to try to take the Lord's word, twist it, and then try to show like he's lying. You know, you in a bad ballpark, okay? You in a part where I would just have to leave you alone by yourself on that. You think you're going to prove God to be wrong? Guess again. Okay, now, so this is what this Rob Bell, okay, has said. Now, so they've gotten away from the word of the Lord, and they're operating an abomination of pride, which that's the first thing that Solomon lists in his list that God hates. God really detests that because he can't tell you nothing, okay? So, having said that, let us continue on. And what I want to do now is go to the Bible. And let's look at one of the first ones who practiced this abominable act of pride. We want to look at the very first person to do this. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28, the very first person who practiced this proud look, this pride that God hates, okay? Because, you know, if anything, we'll look at and see how this person operated in it and what happened with them. And this is very important. And so God tells us that he hates this thing. So Ezekiel chapter 28, and I'm going to read verses 12 to verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 to verse 17. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 to verse 17. And the word of the Lord says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus says the Lord God, Thou sealest up the psalm full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." So he had a part in music. "Thou art the anointed cherub that covered, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." Now you see that. Now, here's what I want you to understand. First of all, who was God in Ezekiel? He's writing this because God gave this to him. Who was God talking about? He said, "Well, the king of Tyrus." Well, I want you to understand, this was not a, quote, man or human being. This was Satan, okay? Now, Isaiah and Ezekiel is two people, two witnesses in the Bible that talks to you about Satan before he turned. where he was an angel of the Lord, and then he has sinned and fallen. And see, this is Old Testament. And I say it for those of you who are, we are not in the Old Testament hollering people, okay? I ain't trying to be funny, but sometimes, you know, as people got, we go overboard in that. Whenever somebody say, let's open with a scripture, come from the Old Testament, some of you are jumping up. Oh, we ain't no Old Testament. We New Testament church. Now that, wait a minute. I like back up a minute before you try to tear the whole Old Testament out the Bible and throw it in the trash can. That's a no-no. We do not practice the law of Moses, the ordinances that they had in the blood of bulls and goats. No, we don't do that. That's been taken away. That's been fulfilled. That's been complete. But there are spiritual principles and things even that the prophets, God gave the prophets in the Old Testament about today. So before you want to take the Old Testament and throw it in the trash can, spray lighter fluid over it and throw a match in it, I think you better think thoroughly what you're doing. Okay, but anyhow, I said that to say this. So this king of Tyrus, once again, was not a regular human being. This was Satan, okay? And God was talking about the condition that he was as Lucifer and how God had blessed him until he became, in verse 17, lifted up. His heart became lifted up in pride, okay? So this is Satan, who was Lucifer, an angel of God. He became lifted up. He became prideful, okay, in his heart. Glory to God, especially the pride of eyes of what from what God had given him. He said, what do you mean? But see, in verse 17, what did the Lord say? He said, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupt thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. See, he looked at what God had given him, and he became lifted up, okay, forgetting who gave it to him. You get what I'm saying? He got away from the word of the Lord, okay? He got away from the word of the Lord. Let's look at that a little bit more closely. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Show you in that where he had got away from the word of the Lord, okay? Isaiah chapter 14. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we're going to look at verse 12 and 13. Verse 13 is our key verse. And look what it says. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? But thou hast said in thy heart, now listen to what he said, Lucifer said in his heart, he said, I would ascend into heaven. I would exalt, see the word exalt? I would exalt my throne above the stars of God. I would sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. So he got away from the word of the Lord, especially when he said, I would ascend. Ascend means to go up. And he said, I would exalt. He said, well, I'm going to exalt my throne. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 23 and 12? Okay. Hallelujah. Well, if you don't, let's go to it right now. As Brother Kenny Hagin would say, let's go to it right now. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. And the word of the Lord says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be what? Abased. You're going to be humbled down. You're going to be brought down. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So you can see where Lucifer got away from the word of the Lord when he said what? He said, I will ascend. And he said, and I will what? Exalt my throne. And we just read, what did Jesus say? He that exalt himself shall be what? Abased. Abased. You're going to be humbled. You're going to be brought down. Okay? That's why Jesus said in Luke, Luke 10, I beheld Satan as lightning do what? Fall from heaven. Fall. He was kicked out. Knocked out of the ring. He was brought down. Okay? He fell. Okay? Hallelujah. Because what? He got away from the word of the Lord and became lifted up in pride. He became abomination. Lifted up in pride. And tell him all what he's going to do. Now, remember, look at God blessed him with great things. He had music within himself. He was doing some kind of leading over the music there. Blessed with wisdom and beauty and brightness. Good Lord. You know, God already blessed him. And he looked at what he had. Oh, man. And you start thinking he know more than the Lord. And he talking about what he going to do. I'm going to zip. You know, instead of him thinking, you know what? I didn't create this my own. You know, this was given to me. Forget that. He threw that out the window. And see, this is what has happened to man. And see, God wants you to see, hear the word of the Lord tonight, people. Some of you have seen it, and some of you are going to even see it even the more in these last days. You're going to see men who once walking with the Lord, who once, quote, was a stickler for the word of God. You're going to see them go away from it, and they're going to be lifted in pride. And you're going to hear them say some stuff, and it's going to be I. They album going to be called I, and their first single is going to be called Me. Okay? Listen, but God don't want that to be so with you. Okay? You get what I'm saying? Because this extra oil, see, this is why I told you what I'm about to say. And this is not trying to be offensive. This is why you got some, the word of us coming together and being one fold, this is why you got some that they ain't listening to this. They don't want to hear this. In fact, we'll reject it straight out to my face. Why? Because they know, oh, that it went away from the word of the Lord. What? I got my own thing going on. Okay? I don't want to come into no one fold. Having to be one with people that, you know, who are not, quote, with my program. You get what I'm saying? See, that's, people, what I'm telling you, this is the honest truth about this, okay? Hallelujah. And you know, well, they won't give them my program. I can't get with people that won't do that. Amen. See, this extra oil, this word that is to refine, cleanse, and purify is going to do just that. But remember this. It can only do it if you allow it. Some of y'all going, uh-oh, he done messed up. I said, no, hear me closely. Hear me clearly. Put your ear up closer to the thing. Jesus Christ, even if he has sent his word to you, have not taken away your free will. Still leave the decision up to you whether to follow, obey or not. Did you know that? Yeah, he still leave that decision up to you whether you're going to obey or not. Okay, you can sit up there and say, well, I'm just not going to do it. Well, you guess what? Hey, that's your decision. Now, you're going to suffer the consequences. Listen, you're not going to go on away from the Lord and be successful. And see, you have men, they're so caught up in their pride and going away from the Lord that, yes, it appears like they're successful. But see, remember, the word lets you know that you are only enjoy sin for a season. Okay? For a season. Glory to God. So right now, you know, you look at Carter Pearson now. When Carter Pearson first got off track, he lost a lot of members. But from different reports that I've been hearing the past few years, he's been, quote, getting people. Now, some of you are here that say, well, hey, he rebounded. Okay, but you didn't hear me say what kind of people he was getting, okay? Listen, if I go preach anything contradictory to the word of God, to Jesus, or even preach something where I would let you know that sin is okay, I'm going to get a lot of people. People, hear me that. I'm going to get a lot of people. Because if you listened in this day and time, what is one of the things that people want? Not to be held accountable for anything. You hear that? let me go deeper. They want to be join churches that won't hold them accountable. In other words, I can do all kinds of sin and still be accepted and call brother and sister, take the sacrament, do all the offices in the church. I can do all that and nothing say it. I can run a prostitution ring on the weekend and on Saturdays and Fridays, and then come to Sunday and lead the Sunday school. And everybody else can know it in there, but ain't nothing going to be said. See, you got people that like that, okay? They like that. So if I'm preaching that it's nothing wrong with that and you're not going to be held accountable, guess what? I'm going to get a flock of people. You understand what I'm saying? See, this extra oil that Jesus is sending, everybody's not going to be attracted. Everybody's not going to take it. You've seen it in the parable in Matthew 25. The foolish did not take this extra oil. They did not accept it. They reject the opportunity to receive the extra oil. Why? Because they, well, we got enough oil. But see, they had the spirit up to so long. Okay? But when they slept and slumbered along with the wise, they did not receive extra oil. Therefore, their lamps went out. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the living God. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray. Father, we pray tonight that you forgive us of pride. Pride in our talks where we have spoken against your word or spoken like we knew more than you. Forgive us, Lord God. Have mercy upon us. Help us, Lord God, to walk in the humility of Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. For we are your people. We are your children. And have mercy upon us. And we pray for those who are so in the bitterness of pride. Talking very well. We ask today that their eyes will be opened, to dear God, for your mercy and grace, and that you would show unto them the way of truth, that they may humble themselves in your sight, in Jesus' name, for the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do, and all glory and honor and praise go unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we will give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, I thank God for all you've been listening tonight. I want to say that this was part one, Extra Oil, Abomination, A Proud Look. Lord, say the same. I will be back tomorrow with part two, tomorrow night. Look for the advertisement then. So, once again, I thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.